Well, that's another one of my favorite songs. I love that song. Glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Song's really appropriate for the message that God has laid on my heart. This morning I want to preach on this subject, a witness for Jesus. And I'm going to be reading out of the book of John, chapter number 18. We're going to read those verses on the screen, and we're going to add one more. We're going to read the 21st verse. When we were here last Sunday night, and Brother Richard and his group, they sang a song, "My Name is Lazarus." Yeah. And I was sitting there, and this is what God works. Sometimes, and I told him, I said, well, I got to have a copy of those words. Because God has given me a message while I'm sitting here. And I went back and I read them. And sometimes, and this is the way it works with me, God will give me a thought. And I say, oh Lord, I ain't no way that's going to turn into a message. And I try to look somewhere else. And he won't let me. And that's the way it was with this morning. So I'm going to try my best to obey God. But where this story begins, Jesus is in the garden, and he's there with his disciples, and the time has come that he should be betrayed, and that he should be taken, and that he would be crucified. And I want to begin reading in the first verse in the 18th chapter of John. This is in regards to the betrayal and the arrest of Jesus. Says, when Jesus has spoken these words, and he went forth with his disciples over the brook of Cedron, where was a garden, into which he entered, and his disciples, and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. For Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples, and Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backwards and fell on the ground. Then asked he them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. It says that the saying might be fulfilled, which he spake of them which thou gavest me, I have lost none. And then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and cut off the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain of the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. Now let's go down to the 19th verse, and we'll come back to these verses in the middle here in just a little bit. But in the 19th verse it says, the high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. And Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, and whether the Jews always resort or gather, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. Now, I want to read that 21st verse again to you. See, he first went to Annas, and then he went to Caiaphas. And if you really study the details of it, what I find is there are 7 different times that Christ was questioned. 7 different times that he was basically put on trial, kept up all night, and he was ridiculed, and he was without sleep. But look at the 21st verse as Jesus responds. He says, "Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said." Now, I want to give you a little bit of doctrinal and historical about this scripture, and I want us to understand something. The first thing is Jesus came to die for our sins. We need to know that and understand that, because I want you to know it as a precursor before I get into this message this morning, is that Jesus came to die. He came to die so that you and I would be able to have life. You know, he says here in the 18th chapter in the 4th verse, it says, "Jesus therefore," and then there's that word, "knowing all things that should come upon him." See, Jesus knew when he came into the world and he began his ministry that one day he would die. He told his disciples that one day they were going to take him. You go down to the 11th verse and it says, "Jesus saith unto Peter," he said, "put up thy sword into thy sheath." And then he says, "The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" You see, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And here's the point. God loved you so much that he did for you what you could not do for yourself. So ultimately, so that you can have life, so that there could be a perfect sacrifice, he gave himself a lamb for a sacrifice. Now, the next thing I want you to see in this scripture, and what it really, the meat of it or the doctrine of it, is that Jesus suffered cruel trials. See, he was taken to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, and he was questioned there. And then he was taken to Caiaphas, and he's before the Pharisees, and he's questioned there. And you flip over and you read a little farther, and when the high priest asked him a question, there was one standing there that slapped Jesus across the face. And he says, "Answerest thou the high priest?" Now, this was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. These were cruel trials. Then he was taken, after the many questionings there, to the hall of judgment, where he stood before Pilate and he was questioned several times. Now, I want you to also understand that during his trials, not only was he slapped or smitten upon the face, but he was scourged. They beat him, and they beat him to the extent that if you really study it, most people would not survive the scourging that Christ suffered. He was beaten with hands and with fists. Then they took and they plaited a crown of thorns and they placed it upon his head and they pushed it down into his head after he was scourged, a purple robe on his back, and Pilate takes him before the people and he says, "Behold the man." Now, maybe looking for sympathy, but remember, when Pilate come before him, he said, "I find no fault in this man." It was customary to release one to him at that time, at the time of the Passover. And he said, "I'm going to release to you the King of the Jews." But they cried again, louder and louder, "Crucify him." And they moved in amongst the people, these religious leaders, these scribes and these Pharisees, and they persuaded the crowd to cry, "Crucify him." Now, here's something else that I want you to see about these trials. The only witnesses that were called were false witnesses. Have you ever thought about that? Now, we know that Jesus came to die for our sins, and it was God's will that he come. Okay, he died for you and I. Here's the point. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And the point was, Jesus took Barabbas' place and became like Barabbas so that Barabbas could become like Jesus. But during this time, the only witnesses that were called were false witnesses. In John chapter 18, verse 28 to 30, I want to give you just a part of it. Here's where they stood up and Pilate began to question them. He said, "I find no fault in this man." And they cried aloud and they said, "If he were not a malefactor or a criminal, we would not have delivered him unto you." In other words, they're saying, "He's a criminal. And if he were not a criminal, we would not have brought him. You see, there were no witnesses for Jesus at the time of his trials. Now, here's what Jesus said in the 21st verse. He said, I've spoke openly, I've taught openly in the synagogues. Some of you even standing there, who were there at that time, he said, you heard what I said. And he said, there are others, ask them, they know what I said. But the truth is, in Jesus' day, just like in our day, they had no desire to know the truth. It's almost like, don't bother me with the facts. I'm too busy living my life the way that I want to live it. They had no desire to know the truth. They had no desire to hear the truth. It's kind of like in the day and time that you and I are living in, rather than looking at whether or not something is really right or wrong, they want to look at the end results, and they use this terminology, the end justifies the means. I want you to know that it's wrong for you and I to do it. It's wrong for the highest ranking politician in the land to do it. It's wrong for the highest ranking government leader to do it. But there's a problem. There's a famine for the hearing. They didn't want to know the truth. They didn't want to hear the truth. And they had no desire to have a witness come and speak of the truth. Now, when I studied this and I looked at it, they took Christ and they scourged him and they cried, crucify, and they said, release to us Barabbas. In other words, we're going to trade the Lamb of God, the Son of God, for Barabbas, who was known to be guilty for robbery and murder. And when Pilate was questioning Jesus, even in the 18th chapter in the 38th verse, you can go down, and Jesus said, I am the truth. And he said, Pilate said unto him, what is truth? And that's the day that we're living in today, to where people don't really believe there's any such thing as an absolute truth. They won't accept the Word of God as absolute truth. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. That's the only one. He is the only truth. And he said, I am the life. But here's what I want to preach about this morning. What would have happened had Pilate said, stop. Let's get some witnesses in here. Let's find some who heard what he said. Let's find some who saw what he did. And let's see who he is. Now we know that Jesus came to die. But you know what? He came to die for everybody in this church house. And if you're here this morning and you've never been saved by the grace of God, you need a witness of who Jesus Christ is. Amen. And as they were standing there that day, I don't believe it would have made a difference had they called a bunch of witnesses to come, because they had already decided and it was already fulfilled in purpose that he should die. But there might have been somebody standing in the crowd, maybe somebody like Nicodemus, maybe somebody who was on the verge or on the fence, that had they heard the witness would have said, surely, this is the Son of God. Didn't Jesus say, they know what I said? Now, what would have happened if these witnesses were called? In the book of Mark, in chapter 10, verses 46 through 52, we call our first witness. His name is Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus was sitting by the wayside begging. And just like the song we played just a minute ago, he said he sat there and people would walk by every day. And he said nobody cared if I lived or died. He said, but let me tell you about Jesus. He said, I was sitting there and I began to call out his name. And I began to cry his name aloud. And even though they beckoned to me to be quiet, I knew he was the only hope for me. And I cried louder and I cried louder until he came forward and he called me to him. And he said, do you believe? And I said, I believe. And he said, and immediately I received my sight. It's like the song that Brother Richard sings, ask the blind man, he saw it all. Amen. You see, here's a blind man named Bartimaeus that wants to come and testify for Jesus. And even though he wasn't there that day, he's testifying to you and me to tell us that this man is the Son of God. They were in Jericho. In a different place, there. And what I also want you to understand that as Jesus walked through this place and that blind Bartimaeus was sitting by the wayside begging, there were disciples that followed. There were Pharisees that questioned, is he going to heal on the Sabbath day? Some of those that were there that said, crucify him. If he were not a malefactor, we would not deliver him to you. They saw what he did, but they didn't believe. Let's call witness number two. He's in Luke chapter 5, verse number 12 and through verse number 15. This is another man who sat by the wayside, but this man, the Bible says, was a leper. And the scripture says that not only was he a leper, but he was full of leprosy. And when you consider what full of leprosy means, this type of leprosy was the type of leprosy that eats away at the flesh from the outside and deteriorates the body until the body actually rots from the outside in. He probably had wrappings around his face because there was a hole where his nose is supposed to be. But when he held up his hand to beckon to Jesus, I could just imagine that all of his fingers were not there. I can just see him being alone and by himself, but he cried out to Jesus because he had heard the story. You know, a lot of people have heard the story, but they're not willing to cry out. He cried out to Jesus, and I want to tell you, something unique happened. Could you imagine the leper as he stood before him and his hands, he's holding them up, and he's saying, look at my hands, look at my face, there's no more leprosy. Because when Jesus passed by, he came over and he touched me. This man could witness for Jesus. But sometimes people don't want to hear. The third witness that we would might call is found in Luke chapter 6, verse number 6 through verse number 10. This was the man, the Bible says he was called the man with the withered hand. And you know how it is sometimes when you go in and you're going to testify, you know what they do? They say, place your right hand on the Bible. I can just about imagine him saying, hold that up where everybody can see it. I want everybody to see that my hand is not withered anymore. I want everybody to see. Now, I've got a testimony I want to share with you because when I met Jesus and I cried out to him and my hand was withered, some of you in this room who are ridiculing Jesus, some of you Pharisees, you were there because it was on the Sabbath day and you questioned whether or not he would heal on the Sabbath day. And Jesus, knowing your hearts, he said, stretch forth your hand. And he says, this same hand that I'm laying here to testify today is the one that the Jesus touched. The same Jesus that you've placed on trial. See, Luke chapter 6, verse 7 says, and the scribes and the Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find accusation against him. But maybe they wouldn't hear those words either. Now, I want to tell you, I don't have time for all the witnesses this morning, but there are a lot. Perhaps this man would be called. He's from the land of the Gadarenes. We find his story in Luke chapter number 8, verse number 26 through verse number 40. Could you imagine as they call him forth? And said, I want to tell you about my encounter with Jesus Christ. See, I was demon-possessed. A lot of people don't want to believe that, but folks, that's what the Bible talks about. There's a lot of folks running around here today that are sucking stuff up their nose, shooting stuff in their arms, and going and laying in holes where there's misery and where there's darkness and where there's nothing but torment. And they don't believe that there are demons. Those demons that were in Legion are the same ones that are in them today. But he said, let me tell you about him. He said, I was over there in the tombs. This is how bad it was. I couldn't be a daddy to my kids. I couldn't be a husband to my wife. People that passed by were afraid of me. They tried to bind me with chains. They tried to do something to me to keep me from harming myself and others. But I was cutting myself and I was crying and I was constantly in torments. But when Jesus passed by, amen. Here's what's unique. Those demons that were in me, they knew who He was. And when He spoke and the word of power came out of His mouth, those demons that were in me, they had to obey Him and they had to leave. And what happened to me was so miraculous that when we went back to my family and they saw how changed I was, they looked at Jesus and they were afraid of Him. Read the story, that's what it says. And Jesus left. But while He was gone, the whole time I testified of Him and I told my family of Him, and when He returned, they received Him gladly. So because of what happened to me and how God, and I want to tell you, I serve a God that can radically change you. He said, because God radically changed me in my life, my whole family got saved. So I want to witness for Jesus. Because if it hadn't been for Jesus, I may have still been over there in those tombs. And my family wouldn't know Christ. And there are testimonies like that today. But maybe that one wouldn't be accepted either. There's another witness, number 5, found in Luke chapter 8, verse 43 to 48. This would be a little woman that would come forward. And here's what I want you to see first. When you look at her, her skin's no longer yellow. When you look at her, she's no longer sick. And she says, now some of you recognize me because I've been sick. I was sick a long, long time. In fact, 12 years. You see, I had the blood disease for 12 years, and y'all know I've spent every dollar that I had. I did everything that I could do that I might get help, but I couldn't get help anywhere. I did everything that I could do, and one day Jesus was passing by, and although there was a great crowd around Him, she said, I knew I'd heard the story. I'd heard about Him. I knew I had to get down and just reach through the crowd and be able to touch the hem of His garment. And she said, immediately when I touched Him, I was made whole. She said, y'all might reject Him if you want to, but I know who Jesus is because when I touched Him, power went out of Him into me. Because when I touched the hem of His garment, I was healed. Then witness number 6 comes. Witness number 6 is just a little lad. He's just a boy. In fact, he's just a boy from the mountains, and he's a little fisherman boy. When he comes in, he says, I've got a story to tell you. He said, we were out there and Jesus was moved with compassion. And I'll tell you why. Jesus had heard about how that John the Baptist had been beheaded. And rather than retaliating in anger, what Jesus did is He was moved on compassion, and He went to our village and He started just healing people and touching people, and people's lives were changed. And He said it went on all day like a revival. He said, but after a period of time, at the end of the day, He said, we were getting hungry, and I heard the disciples say, send the multitudes away that they may go into the village and buy victuals or food. But Jesus said, give them to eat. And one of those disciples, Peter, he said, you know, we don't have with this little boy here. He's got 2 fish and 5 loaves. I want to tell you, those were my fish. I had 2 little fishes and 5 loaves of bread. But Jesus called me over. He took my basket, and the scripture says He took it In one place, then he blessed, and he brake, and he gave. And he held the basket up to heaven, but when he brought it down, it's like fish and bread were jumping out of the basket. And every time they reached into the basket, there was more in the basket, because we serve a God of the ultimate supply who is not limited by the worldly limits that we face every day. He said, you don't believe what you want to about it. But I was there and I saw two fish and five loaves feed 5,000 men, not counting women and children. And he said, here's the amazing thing. When we were done, we took up 12 baskets. Amen. 12 baskets. He said, y'all can believe what you want to about him. But I believe that's the Son of God. You know, we've got one more. You know how skeptics are. You know how people are when they come into the house of God. Kind of like the king of Agrippa. He looked at Paul and he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. You were born to serve God. That's why you're on this earth, is to serve Him. In John chapter 6 and verse 14, speaking of the story of the little boy, says, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Let's call our last witness. He comes up behind the podium and he says, hello. My name is Lazarus. And I'm here today, and I wanted to bring my sister, Mary, and Martha also to support me, because I was in the grave 4 days. But Jesus stood with my weeping sisters, and all he said was, Lazarus, come forth. And he said, life came into me, and I'm walking and I'm talking, and I want to tell you that Jesus has the power that he says that he has. He has power to give life. Amen. The greatest miracle in anybody's life is when you get saved by the grace of God. Lazarus was resurrected, but Lazarus died again in the flesh. But here's something I believe about Jesus. I'm going to get back to this. One day he's going to say, children, come forth. Yeah. Oh, and we're all going to have a great reunion. Yeah. But could you imagine Lazarus standing there? Do you know, remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus? The rich man died and lifted his eyes in hell. And there was another one that was at the gate full of sores. That was a beggar that also died and went to heaven. And Lazarus could see through a great gulf that was fixed. This Lazarus afar off in Abraham's bosom. The rich man could see him. And he said, would you, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may come and tell my five brethren? You know what the ultimate story was? Even if he went, they wouldn't believe. Amen. That's why even if these witnesses had stood before the Pharisees, they still wouldn't have believed, because the truth is, they had already seen it. They had already heard. They had already ridiculed him. They had already criticized him. They wanted to kill him because of who he was, just like the world today wants to kill Jesus because of who he is. The question then would be, would they have even told their story? Or would they have been like Peter? Say, well, what do you mean? Go back to the 18th chapter of John and look at the 15th verse. Now here's the same Peter that said, Lord, that's not going to happen to you. When the Lord tried to tell Peter what was going to happen, he said, no, I'm going with you all the way to the end. He cut off the servant of the high priest's ear, Malchus. The Lord just reached down, put it right back on. But it just a few minutes after, he said, I'll defend you to the death. They're walking. And there was a disciple that was known of Annas and Caiaphas that went into the high priest's house. And Peter followed a ways off. In the 15th verse, it says, "And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her, and kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, the lady, she said, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? And he said, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Go down to the 25th verse. It said, And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself, and they said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? And he denied it, and said, I am not. That's the second time. And one of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, the same Malchus, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? And Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. See, Jesus had just told Peter, he said, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. And he told him, he said, Before the cock crows twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. You see, when I look at this story and we cry and we ask, where are the witnesses? The truth is, Peter saw everything I just described to you. He was there to witness the blind receiving their sight. He was there to witness the withered hand becoming whole. He was there to witness when the blood issue was cleared up. He was there to witness when Lazarus come forth hopping in grave clothes and they unbound him when Jesus said, Loose him and let him go. He was there to witness 12 baskets being taken up of the fish and the loaves. But when he was needed most, he denied the Lord 3 times. You see, Peter could have told this same story himself. And even though we know that Jesus came to die for our sins, perhaps there was somebody standing around that fire bucket that if they had heard this story, might have accepted Christ. See, he had seen and he had heard. He had even eaten the fish and the loaves. And here's where I want you to understand where we're at today. Just as the Pharisees sought to kill Jesus, the world we live in today, they want to kill him too. They want prayer out of the schools. They don't want you to talk about God. You can just about be anything you want to be. Just don't be a Christian. We're living in a world today where even these psycho religions of the world that are killing people are more acceptable in America than Christianity. And Jesus is giving us the opportunity to witness for him. You see, Peter had 3 opportunities, but he was afraid. And number 2, this is something I think is very important. He did not know himself. You ever heard anybody say, well, I'll never do it. That would never happen to me. Know yourself. See, he was oppressed. And the truth is, even though Peter had walked with Jesus, Peter needed spiritual growth. Now we know that it happened because immediately as the rooster crowed, Peter turned and his eyes met Jesus' eyes. And the scripture says that Peter ran out and he wept bitterly. And just a short time later, there at Pentecost, Peter the preacher got up and preached and 2,000 souls got saved. So he did grow, but where was the witness? Now here's what I want you and I to understand. We know that Jesus is coming soon. The signs of the times tell us that Jesus is coming soon. When we talk about it just standing around, the world is drifting farther and farther away from God. And what about those lost around us? You say, well, I don't know the Bible. I can't quote Scripture like the preacher. I can't, it just don't roll off of my tongue. Here's what I want you to understand. This is what your witness is. Tell them what you know. Tell them what you know. Now, I want to give you one more quick story of something Jesus did, and then we're going to call for an invitation. But in the Scripture, in John chapter number 9, the entire chapter is about a man who was born blind. And the Scripture says that he was born blind, and as Jesus passed by, he cried out, and Jesus went and he made clay of spittle. Now remember that God created man from the dust of the earth. And he made this clay and he took it and he anointed the eyes of the man and he said, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And he went and he came seeing. Now when he comes and the Pharisees are there and they're questioning, well, what happened? They say, well, we know that this man, they wanted Jesus dead because he was interrupting their self-righteous religious parties that they were having because there wasn't any godliness in them. But when Jesus came and he changed this man's life and they began to question him, even got to the extent that they were questioning his parents. And they said, well, this is our son, yes. We know that he was born blind. And they said, well, how does he see? You know, they were afraid of being kicked out of the synagogue. And they said, he is of age. Ask him. And then they said, well, we know that Jesus is a sinner. Give God the glory. And you know what he said? He said, well, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. Here's one thing I know. I was blind, but now I see. And here's what I want you to understand. You don't have to quote every verse. Just tell them what God did for you. Tell them what God did to change your life. Because every person that's saved by the grace of God has a testimony. Your testimony is what's going to help somebody. There are people here, and I come on Monday night because I want to be here, folks. Let me tell you something. I've never been a drug addict. I've never been drunk in my life. But it's only by the grace of God. And everybody here needs to get a hold of that. Because if it wasn't for the grace of God, there go I. But you know, sometimes when I'm here witnessing to people and trying to help them, I can't really help them the way they need help. You know why? Because I ain't been there. But I can tell people what God done for me. You can tell people what God's done for you. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, this is what it's about. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now here's what a witness does. A witness tells what he has seen and what he has heard. Now I'll tell you why I get shook up when I hear that song. That's my Jesus. I won't tell you why. Because that's my Jesus. He's precious to me. I talk to him every day. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. And the reason I believe that song goes so deep into the hearts of people here and it so recedes is if you're here and saved by the grace of God, that's your Jesus. Amen. And if you were to be standing there and they were to be crying, crucify him, would you say, that's my Jesus? See, all I can tell is what I've seen and heard. That's why everybody has a testimony and everybody ought to be a witness for Jesus in this day and time that we're living in. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to know every word in the book. You ever been standing in the store at the counter and you see somebody asking the guy behind the The poet, you know, behind the counter there, a question, and he's asking about a plug, a bass plug. And there's a guy standing there, and he says, "Hey, let me tell you about that plug. I fish with that one. I fish with this one." Or a guy standing there, and I have to be careful when I go to the gun store. They ask questions about a caliber. I usually know more than everybody in the store. I can tell them the ballistic coefficient and how fast it shoots and how far it drops at 300 yards and all that stuff. And I can get into that. It's the same thing with golf. You can tell them about the different shafts, and I can tell them about the head speed, and I can tell them about all this kind of stuff and about the balls. And ladies, y'all know about them pocketbooks. I can look at a $5 pocketbook and an $85 pocketbook. I cannot tell the difference, but y'all can. You ever been standing in the line at the store and the lady in front of you has got a bag of coupons and she saves half of what she's going to buy, and you're looking at it and you're thinking, "I wish I could save that, but I wouldn't spend 45 minutes doing it." But if you ask them a question, they'll never move. They'll stand there and they'll tell you about the fishing. They'll tell you about the hunting. They'll tell you about the golf. They'll tell you about the pocketbook. They'll tell you about the coupons. But what about Jesus? What about when somebody wants to know about Him? Does it excite you to talk about God? Or does it excite you to talk about the love of Christ? Does it excite you to talk about what God has done to change your life? Amen. See, you can tell what you know. But in order to talk about Him, you got to know Him. See, everybody that's saved ought to have a testimony. But you got to know Him. Now, I'm going to ask them to come with a song. And I'll tell you what the most important thing is. The world may be walking away from God. There are a lot of people today that mock us as Christians. Well, let them mock. You know what the Bible says about them? And I say this, and it excites me to say it, some of my favorite scripture, but I don't get excited when I think about their end. But the Bible tells me that every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There's going to come a time when every mocker, every ridiculer, every Pharisee, every scribe that rejected Christ is going to bow on their face before Him, and no weapon of the world is going to stand or that's formed against Him, because all He had to do when they were in the garden is He said, "I am He," and they fell backwards. One day, He's going to appear in all His power. He's not coming back again like a babe in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. But He's going to be arrayed in white that's so bright it's blinding. His eyes are going to be as a flame of fire. And when He speaks, the word of thunder is going to come out of His mouth. And every person in the world that's not saved by the grace of God, the Scripture says in the book of Revelation, they're going to run and they're going to hide. And they're going to seek for the rocks and the mountains to fall on Him. But you know what I'm going to say when I see Him? That's my Jesus. If He's not your Jesus this morning, you need to know Him. Would you stand to your feet with me? If God spoke to your heart, the most important thing in your life is that you know that that's your Jesus. This is your opportunity to pray as they sing.
Like a blind man I wandered, so lost and undone. A beggar so helpless, without God or His Son. Then my Savior in mercy heard and answered my cry. And oh, what a since Jesus passed by, oh. is all gone, praise God, I'm free. Looking for a bright tomorrow where no tears will dim the eyes and oh.